Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today we're going to talk about apologies.
And non-apologists.
I'm sorry, Richard.
Oh.
I'm sorry that I had to do a podcast the other day without you, and I had
Wasn't here.
And I had to have a fill-in that I didn't tell you about ahead of time.
That's like something from a horror movie.
That's right.
Looks like
He was just
Halloween.
He was a star. A star replacing a star.
Well, I'm sorry that I couldn't... How's that?
That's
I'm
good.
Sorry that I couldn't be here. Yeah. I'm sorry that I wasn't here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. Thank you. Thank you. So today we're talking about just that. We're going to talk about apologies. And as you said, more importantly, we're going to talk about why it is that some people really have a difficult time saying they're sorry.
Right. It's a common problem. It's funny, you know, we will walk down the street and bump into a stranger and say, oops, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But yet in our most intimate relationships with partners, with children, with parents, with friends, with coworkers, mm-hmm. we find it so difficult to utter an apology. Mm-hmm. Elton John's famous line, sorry seems to be the hardest word, mm-hmm. you know, it's for one of his mm-hmm. songs. And it's true, but it's odd that we become non-apologists in our most important relationships.
Right.
And one of the common problems we deal with clinically is we will have people come in and say, my husband never has apologized
right.
to me, or my wife has or my partner never says she's sorry.
Yeah.
And it becomes a problem in the relationship. We all want to hear that once
mm-hmm.
in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So we're going to talk about this today, right?
Yeah.
Non-apologists.
Well, it's from an article in Psychology Today, mm-hmm. which was a great article talking about this very topic, of course. And we'll have the link in the show notes.
Right.
But what the article does is it goes through five key characteristics of the person who resists apologizing. And
right.
I think that what we'll do is we'll review those five, and so that you can, you know, we talk a lot here about self-reflection and like looking
right.
at yourself. And so if you're the type of person who may resist the opportunities to apologize or
right.
to recognize when you've mm-hmm. when you've made an error or that you've done something wrong, then maybe you can start to fix that. And
that's
so
right.
we'll talk a little bit about how to do that. How's that
and,
sound?
And at the same time, if you're the person who would like to get an apology and never does,
mm-hmm.
it feels like it's something about that you're being denied something. That's probably not the case.
Right.
It probably is that the person who's not apologizing
right.
to you has, I don't want to say has the problem, but the
right.
problem doesn't reside in you. There's
some
wrong with
barrier
you.
That's keeping them from doing it.
That's
it's not,
right. That's right. And it's not about you.
Right.
It's about whatever is creating the problem in them. And if you understand their reluctance, it's going to be much easier for you as a couple to deal with it.
Right.
Whether it's your children or a spouse or a coworker.
Right.
If you understand why some people can't apologize, it'll make it much easier for you to accept non-apologies and to figure out what to do about
right.
it.
Right.
So it's about understanding where this non-apology comes from.
Yeah. So the first key characteristic of a person, a non-apologist, a person
right.
who, mm-hmm. who doesn't, is that they have a really difficult time differentiating the need to apologize from their identity, their self-esteem.
That's right. They don't separate their action, I'm sorry I did that, from their character, from
right.
their person. Okay, and
right.
that's the first thing that they don't make that separation. I do this with my children all the time, or I've learned to do it with my children all the time. It's okay for me to apologize for what I did. It doesn't make me a bad parent.
Right.
Okay. And
yeah.
I think that's the distinction.
Yeah.
But non-apologists
have
feel
a difficult
like it
time
makes
with
them
that.
A bad person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Yeah. So separating or being able to differentiate the action that they're apologizing for
right.
and who they are is really, really an important thing to do. And we do that with kids all the time because we tell them, you know, if you're not bad. That was bad
well,
behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So we can instruct our kids in those ways, but again, many of us fail to recognize that within ourselves. And right. So it's important for us to take that lesson to heart for ourselves, that by apologizing, I'm not saying that I'm bad. I'm just saying that I made a mistake or that I did something wrong.
I'm sorry that what I said hurt you. I'm sorry that what I did hurt you. Not, I'm sorry that I hurt you.
Right.
Okay. And you have to separate those two things.
Right.
It's a very, very simple thing. And as you say, it's the first lesson we teach children.
Right.
You're not a bad person. What you did
was
not acceptable.
Right. Mm-hmm. The second key characteristic has to do with shame. The person
comes from the first one.
Right, right. So the person who is the non-apologist oftentimes feels shame when they have to, when they find themselves in a position to have to apologize. And so they're resistant to apologize because that introduces and accepts shame.
Right.
And which is not a healthy
thing
to accept.
The healthy emotion you should feel when you've hurt somebody's feelings is either guilt, I feel guilty about this, or I have remorse.
Right.
You know, I feel bad. But not shame.
Right.
You know. But if you don't separate your action from your character, when you apologize, you're gonna feel shame.
Right.
Okay. And we don't want that.
Right.
Guilt, yes. Remorse, yes. But shame, no. There's no need to feel shame.
Right. Because we know that there's, in essence, there's a way back from guilt and remorse. But when we feel shameful, you know, that's sort of a little bit farther down on that spectrum than we really want or need to go. And
that's
again,
right.
if that's the tendency that you feel when you apologize, is that you feel shame, then again, you need to really do some introspection and really think about why you're feeling shame. Because feeling shame oftentimes is rooted in a sense of lack of ability, lack of competence,
lack of character.
And so if you're feeling shame, we need to figure out what it is you feel you're lacking, so that we can build those skills and help you not feel shameful about actions and things. You know, if I make a mistake doing something and I feel ashamed, I'm sort of assuming that or taking on the fact that I should have known differently, and man, I'm an awful person for not knowing differently, when in fact I can't know everything, and you know, sometimes I just make a mistake.
Right. I come back to raising our children. I have teenage children, or one teenager left, and I want her to apologize to me.
Right.
I don't want her to feel shame. I don't want her to feel that she's a bad child or a bad daughter. I want her to understand what she did was hurtful, and I would like for her to apologize for it so that we can solve the problem. Not so she feels shamed by what she did. I don't ever want my children to feel shamed.
Right.
I want them to feel guilt. I want them to feel remorse, but not shame.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the third key attribute of individuals who resist apologizing, non-apologizers, is that they fear that apologizing about one thing is going to open the doors to accusations and allegations of wrongdoing in other things as well.
Right.
And so we have this fear component of, well, if I apologize for this, man, that's just...
He's going to open up the floodgates.
Wow, I'm going to have to be apologizing for everything.
That's right. The other person is then going to open up the gates and say, well, while you're apologizing, about this and this and that, that's probably not going to happen.
Exactly.
That's why I'm smiling, because it's a low probability catastrophe, so don't worry about that. But again, if you're the person who would like to have an apology, remember, the other person is thinking that, geez, if I apologize, the other person's going to give this whole laundry list of things that I need to apologize about. It's probably not going to happen.
Right. It's probably not going to be that way. So, now, the fourth thing is that people who are non-apologists tend to believe that if they say they're sorry, by default, they're accepting full responsibility.
That's another big one.
And again, that's not correct. Now, certainly, if it's if you burned dinner, and you burned dinner because you were watching a video on your phone and you failed to attend to what was happening on the stove, okay, that might be your fault. You're still sorry about it. You still maybe have some grief or remorse or something like that, or guilt or remorse or something about that. But by apologizing, for other things doesn't necessarily mean that you're accepting complete and full responsibility.
Right. Right.
What you're doing is you're saying, I apologize for my contribution to mm-hmm. this problem.
That's right. That's right.
Now, again, how do we fix this and how do we repair this and how do we move That's forward right. from here?
Mm-hmm. And it's especially useful when you're in an argument with somebody
right.
or you get angry about something. All you're saying, when you apologize, you're simply accounting for your contribution.
Right.
Okay. You're not accepting full responsibility.
Right.
Okay. And many non-apologists make that assumption, but we know what is... that assumptions
yeah.
can lead to.
Yeah.
So that's a faulty assumption.
Right.
Okay, that's a
yeah.
cognitive distortion.
Right.
And you need to get rid of that cognitive distortion, that by apologizing, you're somehow assuming full responsibility for everything.
Right.
No, you're not.
Now, and I'm going to throw a little caveat here, because if you are in a relationship where the other person has done that, because that does happen, where the other person has said or made you feel or has said things to suggest that your apology means that you accept full responsibility, mm-hmm. then that's a problem that lies within them that we need to, that requires right. some additional support mm-hmm. and help. Because, you know, if you're accepting responsibility for your portion of it, that does not mean that you're responsible for the other person's portion,
right,
of it.
Portion of it.
And if
right.
that other person is saying, oh, well, I'm glad that you're accepting responsibility for all this.
That you're finally accepting
right,
responsibility.
Then that's an issue in them, not in you.
That's right.
So
that's right.
So know that, because I know that I'm sure that that's happened to folks sometimes. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the last key aspect, number 5, is that people who are non-apologists tend to be more comfortable with anger and frustration
That's right.
than they are maybe even with dealing with that those emotions of, you know, of saying they're sorry, of being apologetic, of trying to correct and fix it. They'd rather be mad and get defensive and argue and push back than they would in accepting, again, their responsibility and their role in what happened. Which, again, that's another problem.
That's right. If you're living, or you have a relationship with, you know, living in an intimate relationship, but if you have a relationship with a non-apologist, it may be that that person is using non-apologies to manage their own emotions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what we mean by that is that there are people who are more comfortable with anger,
right.
with irritability, with emotional distance. It's just the way it's their
right.
temperament, it's the way they were brought up,
yeah.
it's their family of origin, where, you know, there are many families where it's okay to express anger, not okay to express sadness.
Right.
So if a person is from that kind of a
right.
family, where you just over a lifetime became more comfortable being angry and irritable and sarcastic, you may find it very difficult to say I'm sorry, because saying I'm sorry does make you vulnerable.
Right.
And there are some people who can't handle, that's what we mean about managing your emotions, is there are some people who simply can't handle feeling emotionally vulnerable.
Right.
And they feel like their apology makes them emotionally vulnerable,
right.
and they just can't take that step. So
right.
again, it's not about you, it's about the other person not being able to take that step to make themselves emotionally vulnerable.
Right. And if you're the type of person that falls into this category, it's really important that you, of course, first recognize
right.
that you fall into this category.
Right.
Because growing up in a home, as you described, mm-hmm. does not get you off the hook.
That's right. You're still not off the hook. That's what we said.
I mean, you mm-hmm. still have to
right.
take responsibility.
Exactly.
You still have to, you know, mm-hmm. be, you know, if you want to have healthier relationships, you still have to be able to accept your responsibilities
That's
and
right.
your and be accountable for your actions.
That's
and
right.
so when you say, you know, that, well, I grew up in a home that, well, you know, we just became angry and we said, you know, just deal with it, whatever, you know, get over it, and all
yeah.
those kinds of things. It's not really helping your case.
That's
you
right.
need to instead, you know, shift and adjust your perspective. Sometimes that's going to require some therapy. And
know
help.
That about yourself.
Yeah.
That's what we say all along. You have to know these things about yourself and then deal with them.
Right.
If you want to have an intimate relationship, we all have to make these kinds of changes.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that certainly has become a recurring theme in some of our more recent podcasts is the critical ability to practice insight.
That's right.
To be able to look within and figure out who I am, what I'm doing, and how what I'm doing affects other people.
You know, you're right. I don't know whether I was less aware of it in years past or whether something is happening, you know, the zeitgeist is changing, but people are thinking more about who they are, why they're doing the things that they're doing. I have a number of younger patients in their 20s and 30s, and they're really going through a process of serious self-reflection. Maybe it's because that's happening in your 20s instead of your teens.
Right.
Maybe we push that process. But you're right. I think that's something we want to talk about someday and consider.
Because insight,
really,
that really is the key to being able to solve a lot of these psychological and self, self-reflective, but your some of our overall problems. So,
And remember, if you're a parent and you want your children to apologize, the quickest way to do that is to model that behavior.
Absolutely.
You show them, you teach them how to apologize by apologizing to them.
Yeah.
Don't feel vulnerable. That's that vulnerability that we talked about. Don't feel vulnerable. You want to teach, you're going to teach your children how to apologize by modeling that behavior for them.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for today. Thanks so much for listening. And, you know, we'd love it if you write a review on iTunes or, you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel. That'd be awesome.
Right.
Right? Wouldn't that be awesome if they did that? Cool. So come back.
I would.
What?
I would.
Oh, you would.
I'd
what?
Subscribe.
You would? If you knew
See
what
you
that
every
meant.
Morning? Are you kidding?
So
I wouldn't miss that for anything.
We will be back for another episode. But until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.